Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on the Sunday which celebrates the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity. Today we will reflect on our Gospel from St. John and hear and discuss the Word of Life for June. Please stay with us and we will be right back.
The word tough can mean different things in different situations. In this case, it's used as an acronym, T-O-U-G-H. Teens open up to God's holiness. It's a youth weekend retreat set for July 11th through 13th at the Crecio Retreat Center, 1200 Lantana, and it's for high school youth in the 9th through 12th grades. Tough retreaters will experience an encounter with the risen Lord in His Word, in the Holy Eucharist, and in each other. Items not allowed on this tough retreat include watches, mobile electronic devices, alarm clocks, and homework. To register, visit diocesecc.org/youth. For more information, call the Office of Youth Ministry at 882-6191.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
I'm very well, Barbara. And yourself?
I'm doing good. Thank you very much.
Good. I hope you're going to get some vacation time sometime this summer.
Yes, I'm planning on it. I've taken up a new hobby, so I'll be doing a little bit of scuba diving this summer.
Oh, well, it's beyond me.
Well, it's seeing God's creation underneath the water.
That's right,
and
that's
it is
right.
Beautiful.
I watch National Geographic for that.
Well, I'll share with you what I find out.
All right.
Well, our gospel this morning is from St. John, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this is a very short gospel for this Sunday, and it really doesn't mention all of the persons of the Holy Trinity.
No.
So exactly what is this Sunday about, Bishop?
Well, this Sunday, of course, tries to keep alive in our thoughts and our minds the fact of God's very existence, that God is one and yet is in three persons, lived in a mutuality of love, one for the other. It's rather difficult in a very, very short program to try to even explain, because our human minds cannot grasp totally this as a reality apart from our own experience of life. And so I think today, more to understand the Trinity, we also have to understand the beauty of human relationships when lived in true love for one another. And so, as we have just finished the Feast of Pentecost, the Church wants to bring and highlight the reality of God himself, that God is three persons in one God. There's a unity in God. That unity is created through the mutuality of self-giving, of love, for one for another, the Father, the Son. And the fruit of that love is the Holy Spirit, which binds the Father and the Son in this communion of love. We hear this more and more in the teachings of the Church and the things that the popes have said over the last number of years about this indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit that is the fruit of that love, and that we are in the image of of the Holy Trinity that is created in the God's image and likeness, we're created as human beings to be in communion with others, not to be isolated, not to isolate ourselves, but to be people who are created for communion with God and also as a reflection of that in communion with one another. So if we were to take the basic unit of that expression of Trinitarian life, is what we can call it, Trinitarian life, it is the family. The family which is a father, a mother, a husband, wife, and in their mutual self-giving, even physically, bring about another, a child. But also on another plane of the human relationships, without the physical, is also the self-giving of love for one another, that one would be ready to die, give their life for the other. And we see so many beautiful expressions of this in human life and the stories that we hear through the news media and others, where one is so self-giving of the other that when one is in trouble, the other one is there to be with and to even substitute life.
Sacrificial love.
Sacrificial love, exactly. And so when you understand it from that point of view and the beauty of a relationship of that sort, where there is a sacrificial love between a person within a family, you can better understand the life that is in God because we are created in that image. So a family, just as one example, that is united in that kind of sacrificial love almost becomes envious, you know, is the envy of other people if their relationships can only reflect that. And so that helps us to enter into a better understanding. Again, our minds, our human minds cannot grasp the mystery of God's Trinitarian life. But seeing the human examples of that can certainly help. A religious community as well that that is united in a purpose, united in a creed, and united in a sacrificial way of living together, of stewardship, etc. You feel that there's something there that's different in the relationship that they have. And it is a reflection of God's very existence and being. And I think in a few moments after the break, we'll talk about the Word of Life, which really amplifies this whole reality of the Trinitarian life.
Mm-hmm. Well, I looked up in the Catechism for the definition of the Trinity, and it said it's the mystery of one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The revealed truth of the Holy Trinity is at the very root of the Church's living faith as expressed in the Creed. The mystery of the Trinity in itself is inaccessible to the human mind and is the object of faith only because it was revealed by Jesus Christ, the divine Son, the eternal Father, which is exactly what you said. It's hard to put it into words.
Right, but it is the pattern. I think what I hear there that that even makes more sense or helps to make sense is that the Trinitarian life, the three in one, which is mystery, but it is the pattern of all the church's life. It's the pattern of human life. If we take it that we are created in God's image and likeness. So the creed, if you notice, as the Nicene Creed that we profess on Sunday today, we'll profess it again. It's Father, Son, Spirit. It continues to unfold the mystery as Jesus presented it to us, that the Father is one, is the origin and the principle of life, generating the Son, consubstantial with, of the same meaning, of the same substance with the Father. And then we go through the mystery of Jesus's incarnation, life, death, resurrection, and then the Holy Spirit is introduced as the life of the church. So we see from the scriptures this presence of the three. So we formalize that in a Nicene Creed, but more important or as important is we have to experience that in our own life, that we can experience it in our own life. So the Trinity is really the footprint of all communal gatherings as human beings and especially as the church, so that we don't, we don't go, for example, in a parish life, the different groups that may belong in a parish, different organizations, etc., they should not be there claiming their own territory or being in opposition to the other group, one group over the other group, or one ministry over the other ministry. That's not the life of the Trinity. The life of the Trinity is that you have this ministry and this ministry and this ministry and this ministry. You have this organization, but it harmonizes because of love, because I see your ministry as important as mine, for example. And then when that is the attitude, then we harmonize that into a oneness called parish life, for example. So it's a 3-in-1, or it's a 15-in-1. And so it's through that love for one another, that understanding the other person, accepting, welcoming, as John Paul II would say, welcoming the other person and their ministry, their life, and what they do as important as mine. Then you begin to experience the beauty of the Trinitarian life, which is from the diversity, one. And of course, we have that on our own coin for the United States, right. You know, ex pluribus unum, out of the many, one. And so out of three, one. It's in the DNA of the human person, right, to be, yes, an individual, but the desire to also be one with others and with God.
And you mentioned about the parish life. I have found personally that, you know, we're all called to serve, and we are servants. You can have people responsible, mm-hmm, but we're all servants, and we're all doing it for the betterment of the parish.
Right. To build up, you know, Christ, to build Christ in the parish.
Absolutely.
That is it. And I know I've quoted this before on the program, but I think it's, since we were on that vein, just talk about it again, of St. Teresa the Little Flower, who saw all the ministries of the church. She had been reading the letter of Paul, the 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul expresses all the different ministries. And she said, I wanted to do all of them. I wanted to be a missionary. I wanted to teach. I want, you know, prophetic ministry, everything. She said, I wanted to do it all. But she was a cloistered religious, a Carmelite sister. And she said, but I found my way in the church. And, of course, her book is called The Little Way. And that is love, that above all these gifts, St. Paul says at the beginning of chapter 13, is I'll show you the most excellent way, and that is the way of love. And so that she realized by being love at the heart of the church, that she was living all the ministries of the church. And so that is what I hope for all of us as family, as parishioners, as members of the same community here in Corpus Christi, that this love of reaching beyond ourselves, understanding the other person, the one that's different than I am, but having that kind of openness reflects the life of God, and it builds unity, a pluribus unum, out of the many, one, but because there is that love among us. That's really the Trinity in mystery, mm-hmm, and hopefully explained a little bit in real life. Not without its problems, of course. I mean, you know, it's difficult at times, but that's where Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. So every difficulty is simply an opportunity for us to love more, not to deter us or to prevent us from loving, but take up your cross and go further and love more. So that's the mystery of the Christian faith right there.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will read and discuss the Word of Life for June. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
A special convalidation seminar for civilly married couples, or those who were married outside of the Catholic Church and wish to have their marriage convalidated, is set for Saturday, July 26th, in the Parish Hall of St. Peter, Prince of Apostles Church, 3901 Violet Road in Corpus Christi. The deadline for your required pre-registration is July 21st. For complete information, including how and where to register, call Deacon Stephen Nolte, Director of the Office of Family Life for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, at 882-6191.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, we're kind of shaking things up a little bit, and instead of doing the Word of Life like we'd always done for the first Sunday of the month, we're doing it on different Sundays.
So, yes. I think that's permissible.
I think so, too. And, you know, as always, it's a beautiful word of life from St. Matthew.
Yeah, it is. And I would just like to say as an introduction to it, it's a part of the scripture that, you know, since the Second Vatican Council and today being the Feast of the Holy Trinity, it kind of brings out something that's in the scriptures from the Gospels all along. It's maybe we haven't taken notice of it as much, but since there is so much emphasis on community, communion, the life of the Trinity, reflection of the Trinity in our lives, that this passage can certainly bring to life the fruit of this love for one another that is Trinitarian and what happens, and that is the presence of Jesus among us. Life for June for this month is, "And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is from the St. Matthew's Gospel at the end of the Gospel, where Jesus is departing to return to the Father at the Ascension, but also saying that I'm leaving, but I'm with you.
Right.
So this is certainly that Trinitarian mark remains strong in our life. "And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Matthew begins his Gospel by recalling that Jesus, whose story he is about to narrate, is Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Matthew then concludes his Gospel by repeating these words of Jesus. His promise is to remain with us always, even after he has gone back to heaven. He will be God with us until the end of the age. Jesus addressed these words to his disciples after entrusting them with the task of bringing his message to the whole world. He was well aware that he was sending them like sheep in the midst of wolves, and that they would meet with adversity and persecution. This is why he didn't want to leave them alone in their mission. And so, at the very moment when he was leaving, he promised to stay. They'll no longer be able to see him with their eyes. They won't be able to hear his voice. They won't be able to touch him. But he will be present in their midst as he was before, even more than ever. Up to then, his presence was localized in one precise place in Capernaum, or on the lake, or in the mountains, or in Jerusalem. Instead, from then on, he will be wherever his disciples are. Jesus was also thinking of all of us living out day after day what can sometimes be complex as a lifestyle. Because he was incarnate love, he might have thought, "I would like to be with them always to share their daily worries, to give them advice. I would like to walk down the streets with them, enter their homes, enliven their joy with my presence." This is why he wanted to remain with us and make us feel his closeness, his strength, his love. Luke's Gospel relates that after having seen him ascend to heaven, the disciples returned to Jerusalem with great joy. How can that be? It was because they were experiencing the reality of those words of his. We too will be full of joy if we truly believe in Jesus' promise. "And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." These words, the last words that Jesus addressed to his disciples, mark the end of his earthly life and, at the same time, the beginning of the life of the church. Jesus is present in the church in many ways, in the Eucharist, in his word, in his ministers, the bishops and priests, in the poor, in the little ones, in the marginalized, in every neighbor. We like to underline one particular presence of Jesus, one that he himself pointed out to us. "For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." He would like to be present everywhere in this way. If we live what Jesus commands, especially his new commandment, we can experience this presence of his even outside our place of worship. in the midst of the crowd, wherever this presence of His is kept alive everywhere. What is asked of us is mutual love, made up of service and understanding, of sharing in sufferings, anxiety, and joys of our brothers and sisters, a love that endures everything, forgives everything, a love which is typical of Christianity. Let us live in this way so that everyone may be given the opportunity to meet Him already on this earth. Written by Kara Lubick.
Again, it's a wonderful word of life, and I think this one seems a lot more specific about what we need to do for the month.
Yes.
Well, not just the month, but going forward.
Right, right. Yeah, that's right. I think, you know, it's to appreciate His presence. I know that I probably have said this before, but this the whole reality of being able with a spiritual insight to see beyond what is just seen. Many of us, tangible people. We want to see what's tangible. We want to believe in what is tangible, what is audible, what we can hear, what we can see, touch, feel, taste. With the senses, we want to be people who experience life only through the physical world, what's seen. A person of faith has to look beyond the merely physical manifestations of life, to believe in the other, believe in the beyond. And so when Jesus, that's why we have a sacramental life, because when Jesus was with us, He, throughout His 3 years of ministry, left signs of His presence with us. The sign of the Eucharist, of course, is the height of that, to take the bread and repeat His words, "This is my body, which is given up for you," pointing, of course, to His redemptive act on the cross of sacrificing Himself, and take the blood, the blessing, the cup, and to say those words of His, "This is my blood, which is poured out for you from the cross." We see that, whoever hears you hears me. And so the ministers of the gospel, the word, that He's present there, the poor, whatever you do, the least you've done to me. And so there is, beyond just what is seen, there's also the presence of Christ, you might say hidden, except to the eyes of faith, His presence is there. For many, that might be hard to understand, but I think she's pointing out here toward the end that there is a presence which, again, in the past we have not spent much time with as a church, to look at His presence among those who believe, to be in the presence of a community that truly has a love for one another, that is a community that is reconciled to one another, a community that forgives, a community that serves. That means the death of self, the death of the ego, because many of us experience in ourselves as well, the desire to promote our ego, to promote our talents, to promote our abilities. And yet, Jesus is calling us to put all of that at the service of others, not at the service of ourself, of our aggrandizement or whatever, but at the service of others. And that is where the presence, this other presence of Jesus is generated, where two or three are gathered in my name, in my love, I'm there. And I think this is really, when we look around at Christianity today, at people, they're really looking for community. They're looking for that place where Christ lives in the midst of his disciples. It's not something that you can see. I mean, He doesn't appear, but it's something that is felt with the soul. I mean, I have to say that I've been in several of those encounters where there's a true peace, there's a true joy among his believers. It's something very subtle. It's not something that is loud or overt, but
boisterous.
It's there, mm-hmm. And you feel it with the soul, mm-hmm. And you're drawn into that, and it's like you want to be a part of that. It's a mature Christianity of living this mutual love, as does the Trinity. I mean, I think this is where, at the end of life, as we come into God, we'll be drawn into that life, that Trinitarian life, where there are no words. We try to imagine what it would be like from our human understanding of life, but it's another life that is more wonderful, more beautiful than this one, and that only faith can accept as such, but will be drawn into that mystical life, that mystical presence, which is nothing more than God's love, God's mercy, totally manifested to each one of us. And so this promise of Jesus, I am with you always until the end of time, to the end of the age, his presence in the Eucharist, his presence in the other sacraments of the church, in his word, and also his presence when we gather in his name to celebrate his presence, that he promised to be there always. And so I would say this month is to find ways that we can build up these cells, you might say, of Christian life, where Jesus is truly alive in our midst, in each one of us individually, but also among us, as he promised.
Thank you, Bishop. If you could close our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing,
certainly.
Please.
Let us pray. God, our Father, who by sending into the world the word of truth and the spirit of sanctification, made known to the human race your wondrous mystery, grant us, we pray, that in professing the true faith, we may acknowledge the Trinity of eternal glory and adore your unity, powerful in majesty, through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.